This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roosevelt County Historical Society. This story comes from Roosevelt's book, celebrating their centennial. I thought it might be appropriate for Halloween week. It's called An Early Pioneer Murder Mystery by Maury Grove. Shortly after the turn of the century, the Lake of the Woods area was opened for homestead entry. The gates were opened and the multitude poured in. The land was free and a new life beckoned. New hope and a new horizon were in view. A new future was theirs for the taking. From the north, south, east, and west they came. From Canada, the U.S., and Europe came the brave and valiant home seekers. They had one desire in common. All hoped this would be their new and happy home. For them, it was a challenging vista. True, it was a gamble. They bet their ability to make a home against 160 acres of Uncle Sam's land. And they could pick the land. What a tantalizing offer. No wonder there were so many takers. What did one have to lose? Only a few years of hard labor. Yes, I can just feel the hopes and desires of those pioneers. For many, anything could be better, and how good it would be was up to them. One man in this multitude was Louis Chiquin. He came from Canada, Quebec, perhaps. He was of French extraction, powerful and determined. He selected for his homestead a quarter section of land 5 miles north of Roosevelt and along the banks of Willow Creek. That was typical of early French settlers. They settled along rivers. It meant transportation for them before roads were built. They also contained fish for food. Louis worked hard. He built a comfortable house, then a barn and a root house for storage of potatoes and other vegetables. He cleared a few acres of land between his house and the creek. He also dug a drainage ditch half a mile long to drain a hay meadow. His gradient was amazingly accurate, subsequent surveys proved. All this done, then came the chance to sell his homestead. The winter of 1914-15, an Iowa farmer offered to buy his place. Why did Louis sell? His future now looked rosy. Did he want to go back to Quebec, to his old home, to the friends who talked the same language and worshipped the same as he? No one knows. The deal was made. Louis went to town for his mail, also to Warroad on business. He traveled on skis, for it was winter and the snow lay deep. He came home, but never was seen again. A partially eaten meal was found on the table. The mail lay there too, unopened. What happened? For many years, neighbors asked themselves that question. A year later, a traveling show came to Roosevelt. With the show was a fortune teller who professed to know the unknown. What became of Louis Chiquin, she was asked. Did he go back to Canada? No, was the answer. He was killed and was buried under the roots of an upturned tree, 1/4 mile west of his house. This statement was astonishingly true, as events were to prove 33 years later. In the spring of 1917, I came with my dad to Roosevelt. We were a disillusioned family. Dad had traded his home in St. Paul for a place 9 miles north of town. The seller, being anxious to sell, was very careless with the truth. With a family of 7 very active boys, Mother was much concerned about having enough to eat. A late frost had ruined any possibility of a blueberry crop. High bush cranberries were the only alternative. Nowhere in the area were the cranberries as good as on the Chiquin place. Being the eldest of the boys, I was 13 years old, it became my job to pick cranberries. From early fall till long after frost, I picked and lugged home cranberries. It was only 5 miles away and we didn't have a buggy yet. If I remember correctly, I picked 12 bushels of cranberries. We had cranberry sauce, cranberry jam, jelly and juice, lots of it. The sauce and juice was canned unsweetened in 2-quart mason jars. This was World War I, remember? Being only 2 years after Louis had disappeared, I heard all there was to tell. Carl R. Olson, who also picked cranberries with me, and incidentally became my closest friend, told me all he knew. He had been born and raised a few miles away, so knew as much as anyone. Later, having grown up, I began to see the possibilities of the Chiquin place, so in 1946 I bought it. 2 years later, we were doing some bulldozing along the road west of the old homestead house. A part of the dozer track fell off. The operator walked back, looking carefully for the part, and thought that he saw some bones. Clearly examining his find, he saw that the dozer blade had shaved the top off a mound, and there was an array of bones. Parts of the lower leg bones and foot bones lay there undisturbed. This was removed intact and taken to the Roseau Times. I was very much surprised to read a number of weeks later that the bones were from a young deer. Later, visiting with the sheriff alone, I asked him, "Tell me, yes or no, were those human bones?" My family doctor identified them as such. "Well," said he, "when you ask me that way, I'll have to say yes." That deal had happened so many years ago, I could see no point in opening the case again. Out of curiosity, I stepped out the distance from the old house to where the bones were found, almost exactly a quarter of a mile. I counted 300 paces. Spooky, isn't it? Through all the years, the neighbor had been speculating who was responsible. After hearing all the evidence, circumstantial of course, I had to admit it was convincing. The party is long dead, has been for many years, but death was so agonizing I could not but feel it was God's wrath and retribution. So I cannot help but remember Robert Burns' words, "The mills of God grind slow, yet grind exceedingly fine." Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.